we are talking about fasting. I hope, because I put so many books up here I'm about to reach for, I hope this doesn't go woo. But I want to say this. When I was thinking of fasting, what comes to your mind the first thing when you think of fasting? What do you think of? Not eating? Okay. So you guys are normal. I'm weird. The first thing that came to my thought was yoga. I don't know why. I'm sorry. My sister has done yoga for years. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought yoga. I thought hippie. I don't know why I thought that. I thought other religions. I don't know about you, but I know enough about Hinduism that Hinduism has like New Day and has a bunch of other festivals that they consistently fast with. Mormons, I don't know if you knew this, they usually will fast the first Sunday of the month. It's kind of part of their tradition, as well as the Muslims. Ramadan, you've maybe heard that many times. It's in their calendar, their religious calendar. It's the ninth month, and it's a mandatory fast for everybody unless they have a certain criteria, and I won't even read them because a couple of them might be a little bit offensive for young ears. But there's a category of unless this, you have to fast. And so I guess that's what came to my mind, but I definitely should have been thinking don't eat. That's probably the first thing to think about there. But we are talking about what I entitled in the sermon as the forgotten spiritual discipline, which is not forgotten, but it just seems to be, in my opinion, in our culture, probably the least thought about, just not applied, maybe least understood why it's beneficial. And so I'm going to take the tact of specifically talking about fasting, meaning stop eating for a period of time with purpose. And so I want to talk about that today. And I would say you could talk with lots of people maybe in this room that would give you all sorts of more knowledge in regards to types of fast and Daniel and some other things like that. But that's what I'm going to focus on. And specifically, majority in the back part of our sermon is, do you need to fast and ask some good questions for you to consider? Maybe there's something going on in your life that maybe you should consider a serious fast, and maybe in time it will become a practice in your life. But let me just give you a quote. I'm going to do three quotes actually, but one's in your notes. But here's a quote from John Wesley. He says, "Some have exalted religious fasting beyond all scripture and reason, and others have utterly disregarded it." I highlight sometimes my notes when I look at it Saturday, and I highlighted utterly disregard it. I think that is kind of where in our culture, maybe not even because we're not willing to, misunderstanding could be whatever, I think we kind of fall in the line of it's just not a very big part of our faith. And so another quote he said too, he says in another book, says, fasting can bring breakthroughs in the spiritual realm that will never happen in any other way. It is a means by God's grace and a blessing that should not be neglected any longer. Wesley declares, it was not merely by the light of reason that the people of God have been in all ages directed to use fasting as a means, but they have been taught it of God himself by clear and open revelations of his will. Another quote from a prominent guy that I've been using through our series. He says this, we have already pointed out how our Lord shows that our Christian lives have been divided up into three main sections. There is the aspect of portions of our lives in which we do good to others, almsgiving, that's when we talked about giving. Then there is the question of our intimate personal relationship with God. And he says our prayer life. And then he says the third is the one we shall look at now as we consider verses 16 through 18, the question of personal discipline in one's spiritual life, considered especially in terms of fasting. That's how he broke the three up. So I ask you as we begin the sermon, do you need a spiritual breakthrough in your life? As Wesley, a great forefather in faith who's done incredible things for the kingdom, who did incredible things for the kingdom, he says this is the greatest discipline and spiritual breakthrough. So I ask you that. And then I say to you, do you need growth in your personal discipline life, in the spiritual life? Both of those, I think, fasting helps with. With that said, let's open up to Matthew chapter 6. Long introduction, lots of quotes. But the stand didn't fall. We're good. No one's hurt. Of course, no one sits in the front row but me anyways. Here we go. Three verses. Chapter 6, verse 16. It is behind me. 16 through 18. Here we go. And when you fast, once again, as we had giving, when you give, when you pray, when you fast, Do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fast may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Okay. I do look forward to hearing some feedback from community groups. I had some questions in the community group questions. I think this will be an interesting of the subjects, one of the interesting ones to get a little bit feedback from some community group leaders from what your group talks about. But I want to say this. We've already been talking about that one of the big lessons is that verse 16 says that fasting to be seen by others. And once again, Jesus is condoning pretentious displays of piety, warning us of sinful internal motivations being a problem. When there's sinful motivations, there's a desire to be seen by others or desires for others to think we're religious and try to be look good by doing religious things. And Jesus is, of course, clearly condoning that. And it's funny that, I think it's funny as you read the three for our culture, everyone talks about giving, everyone talks about praying, but we almost never talk about fasting. But Jesus, it's not like that's the third one of the three. It's just like talking about praying, just like talking about giving. Because it was that much a prominent part of their culture. It was a massive part of their culture. And so Jesus is clearly just throwing it in as one of the things. He's saying, be careful that you don't do this to be seen by others. Verse 18, he says, your Father who is in secret, once again, will reward you. And I want to acknowledge this again for the third time, and I'm going to leave these two points alone. I've preached literally on those every week for the last 2 weeks. But disciplined living done the right way leads to reward. Now, I think that's kind of incredible that God says, hey, I want you to be intimate with me. And when you're intimate with me and spend that time with me, the God who wants to pursue you, I'm going to reward you for doing that. That's kind of an amazing thought that God says, I'm going to reward you when you do these disciplines, that really these disciplines aren't for me, they're for you, and I'm going to reward you. The Jump podcast. It's a good NBA podcast. That's what happens when I start moving around. Sorry about that. Charles, you listen to The Jump? It's good. It's a good podcast. All right. We're going to recover now. So discipline done the right way. And again, I just want to acknowledge it's an amazing thing that God rewards us for being disciplined. God gives us reward. Another thing, again, when you fast, not if you fast. It's when you fast. And so Jesus assumed that fasting was a good thing. That's clear. And that it would be done by his disciples. But he says this, look at Matthew. Now this is in your notes. Matthew 9, verse 14 through 15. He says this, then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, Jesus, and then the disciples of Jesus will fast. So he acknowledges, like, they will fast. Like, right now is not the time for mourning. I'm with them, and we're celebrating, and God's moving. But when I leave, there will be a time for fasting. And so once again, Jesus is assuming in that text, even though at the time with John coming to them, he's saying, why aren't they fasting like John's disciples? He does acknowledge that they will fast when I'm gone from them. And so I just want to begin with, it's clear that Jesus would say fasting is a big part and it should be a part of our life. And so the big question is, why should we fast? That's what I want to answer today. That's what I want to spend time talking about and encouraging us to think through is, should we fast? Should maybe I consider fasting? So let me just make a statement. As I was praying this week about how to teach on fasting, because I would say that would be the least comfortable for me to talk about, because I don't think I've ever heard anyone preach on fasting, as I've said a couple times through the sermon series. But I also, it is one of the areas that I'm not coming here as an expert. It's something I need to grow in my spiritual walk as well as fasting. It's just not a part of me. It's not something I've thought about for years. It's something that I need to grow in. So this is not, I'm teaching you how to do, I need to grow in this area of my life. And it's something that as I was praying, I asked the question, God, why should I fast? And God really put my heart, this is where God led my heart. We should fast in order to pursue, experience a fuller glimpse at the fullness of God. Why should you fast? As I spent time praying, God revealed in my heart, this is the answer that God put in my heart, in order to pursue, experience a fuller glimpse at the fullness of God. That's what God put in my heart as to why should I fast? Why might I consider doing this? And so fasting means a heart hunger for God. Fasting should center on God. Two verses, Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Notice in that verse that this is a prayer that Paul has for his people and that he's writing. And he says that you may be filled with the fullness of God. There is an ability to be filled with the fullness of God. And Paul prays that. Sometimes when we pray for each other, we always think about health. But when Paul prayed for people, he prayed that you would know the love of God, the depths, the height, the width of his love. That's what Paul prays. He prays that you would be filled with the fullness of God. That's what he prayed, because he knew if that happened, the rest of it would take care of itself. That's how Paul prayed for people. That's how he prayed for the churches. And so he says that you would be filled with the fullness of God. And God, I think, put in my heart that that is one of the greatest parts of fasting. God fills you with a fullness that if you don't fast, it's hard to have the same experience, because fasting does something that connects you with the supernatural in a way, particularly for a culture that's all over the place. We're so busy. We struggle just to pray. We struggle with everything because we're so busy. Fasting, when you physically hurt, just like when you're sick, nothing else matters. Now, I tell this story, and it's not, you know, it doesn't make me look good, and that's okay. I always talk bad about myself. But when I get sick with the flu, I almost never get sick. I just don't get sick often. When I get sick, I used to say once a year I got the flu, and I haven't had the flu in like 4 years, so I don't want to say it. I don't even have wood to knock on. Oh, no. Knock on my head. There we go. But when I get sick, there's no question. I have a very high pain tolerance, even with my knee, things like that. But when I get the flu, I'm the worst. My wife knows that I'm pitiful. I'm pretty bad. And I'm just like, you know that you shouldn't plead when you're sick, but I start pleading. I'm like, God, if you take this away, I will pray. I'll fast, God. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Take this away, Lord. That's how I get. I just do, particularly when it comes to flu and anything involving throwing up. I hate that. It's horrible. And I'll just be honest with you. That's the issue. But I would tell you, when you get in that kind of state, you take God real serious. And quite frankly, I love the Texans, I love the Rockets, but they're not the priority when I'm sick, right? Like, God, heal me, I need you. I acknowledge, I know I need God in those moments. I'm sure at the end of our days, as we get into more serious sicknesses, like that's what happens. There's a surrealness to, okay, like life comes into real reality of it really is ultimately between me and God and my relationship with God. Nothing else matters as important as that when we get to those moments, and I'm sure at some points in our life. And so I would say to you, fasting helps you connect, but it's purposeful, and it's not you have to be sick. It's not God's having to make you focus on him. It's you choosing to do something that causes you to have a focus and a connection with God that you can't really do just through praying, just through Bible study, which you can connect with God, but it's different. There's an ability for you to have a weakness and you realize that, God, you really are the one that sustains me. Now, we all know that. We all believe that, but it doesn't mean we live like that. Fasting helps us to do that. It's a tool. It's a tool to help us focus on God. Zechariah 7:5 says this. Say to all the people of the land and the priests, when you fast and mourned in the fifth month and in the seventh, for these 70 years, was it for me that you fasted? Lots of people fast, but sometimes they don't fast for God. They may choose to do away with something and it's a more health reason, but do you fast with purpose? Fasting, I believe, should primarily be, fasting is a good health benefit. There's people that aren't Christians that fast. There's a reason why most cultures, you go to India, you go to parts of Africa, you go to other parts of Asian cultures, they fast. They do it for health benefits, even beyond God. But I would say this to you, when we fast, I would encourage you to have more purpose to it. In a second, I'm going to list several questions, but let me read two big passages and make two more points before we jump into pondering, should you fast a little further? And this is all in your notes. Matthew 4, verses 1 through 2 says this. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. You think he was hungry? I think so. He says he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, now this is important, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He was on a 40-day fast. I want to acknowledge something. If you look at the passage and you're reading the end of chapter 4, I noticed this last night with my wife because she was teaching on something very similar in Sunday school with the children. And as he's finishing this time of real temptation and prayer, what's the very next section of Scripture after this time with Satan where he's being tempted? It says very clearly in verse 12 in my Bible, Jesus begins his ministry. So before Jesus began his 3.5-year period where he poured out his life in ministry, he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to go and be on the cross. He knew those things. He spent 40 days fasting to prepare himself for what? If he was going to go through all that he was going to go through, he had to be faithful. He couldn't sin. And so he prepared himself, and fasting was a huge part of that tool for him to connect with God in such a way that he would be in the incredible minister that he was for those 3.5-year periods. Fasting was the massive tool in connecting with God and helping Jesus connect with God. So we have to remind ourselves, God sustains us, not food. Fasting helps us do that. John 4:31-34 says this, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. Verse 33, so the disciples said to one another, has anybody brought him something to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Verse 35, do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, folks, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Fasting helps us repurpose our lives. When your life, when you get to a place that you feel like I have a lot of idols in my life, God's not really the center of my life, fasting helps you repurpose your life. So, three things I've said. Fasting helps you in regards to experience the fullness of God. Fasting helps you remind yourself that you actually depend on God. Food alone doesn't sustain you. God sustains you. And fasting helps you repurpose your life. Fasting helps you repurpose your life. And Jesus is talking about that which they needed to learn. He said, where my food really is doing the will of God and what he sent me to do. That is much more filling, joyful, worth pursuing my life doing than anything else. That's what Jesus says. And he teaches them that lesson. So with that said, I'm going to spend the rest of our time mostly focusing on some questions. Should you consider fasting? So number one, are you hungry for more of God? Are you hungry for more of God? I just read that passage of John verses 31 through 34. Do you need a repurpose in your life? Do you need, once again, a focus? And we'll talk about a little practicality in regards to fasting, but fasting, I really believe, helps you connect with God in such a way that no other discipline can connect you. Particularly for a culture like ours, where we're so busy, we're so crazy, we're all over the place. You know, it's really hard to have any kind of direct focus. Fasting helps you focus. And it redirects, just like when you're sick, it redirects you. You're like, nothing else matters but you right now because I'm sick. Same thing with fasting, but you're purposely choosing to do it for God to redirect you. So it really does beg to say, are you hungry for more of God? And if your answer is, I really am, there's something in me that's saying I really hunger for more of God. Well, as I said in the very beginning, I think God put in my heart that the fullness of God, fasting helps you experience the fullness of God more. So I encourage you, I ask you, is that where you are? Then you might consider and need to consider fasting. Number two, do you want to experience a greater presence, knowledge of God, or an understanding of his will fuller? Again, I go back to, I already read a passage about that, Matthew 4:1-2. Do you want to see transformation of God's fruit in your life? If that's you, I think fasting is something for you. Do you need to understand God's will? Are you at a place that I really need to understand God's will for my life? Is that something you're wrestling with? Do you really want more of God's presence? Maybe you say, I come to church and I don't feel the presence of God at all in my life anymore. Maybe you're a person that in the last month or in the last year, you've gotten to the place that you don't feel God, you don't sense God. You start thinking, where are you, God? Are you this God that created and just left everything? And is that where you feel in your relationship with God? Do you want more fullness in the presence of God to have some more experience where Paul would pray that they would understand the widths, the depths of God's love? Do you not understand God's love in such a way that it's motivating your heart right now? If that's you, and only you know, I don't know, but if that's you, I would say maybe you should consider a fast. Consider a fast, because if that's might be where you are. Number three, do you need to experience a greater power of the Holy Spirit in breaking chains of sin or thoughts and feelings of despair in your life? I'm going to say that one again. Do you need to experience a greater power of the Holy Spirit in breaking chains of sin or thoughts and feelings of despair in your life? I want to read this verse real quick, Isaiah 58, 6. Is not this the fast that I choose, to lose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? I acknowledge at actually the end of this that I think also fasting is something that you and a group of people for a particular situation or particularly unjust or ungodly issue, that you come together to fast with purpose. I say this, our friends, they're not here and it's good. They were sitting over here. I sat with them last week. They came from Belton to sit with us. And it's something I found out. She's been fasting for our church for 2 weeks now that God would move in our church. She's not part of our church. She just knows me, loves me, wanted to come see us. But she was like, she didn't know where I'm talking on fasting. And I found out her and her family for 2 weeks have been fasting just for our church. Just with the purpose, I want to see God move in your church and in your life, Ben. Whoa, what a friend, right? I felt pretty, man. And then, by the way, she texted me when I was in the office saying, I'm praying for your church right now, that God would show up. And I was like, man, I'm praying for your church too, for you. Thank you. That was a really cool thing. And I say that to say you can pray with purpose. But I want to go back to what I just said. Do you have sin in your life? Do you have a sin that you can't break the chain? You're at a place that you've tried everything mentally. You know scripture. You know what's wrong. Everything in you feels like, I don't want this anymore. But I'm controlled in a sense by it. Maybe rather than continuing to fight, you fast. And say, God, I'm going to realize, because again, when you have that hunger pain that rages in you, sin is not as attractive because you're so hungry and it just repurposes you. Do you have a sin in your life that maybe right now, if you were honest, you want to break the chain, your spirit in you, your heart says, I want to break this, but I don't have the will to break it. I've shown a history of I can't break this. Fast. Maybe fasting might be a solution to help you as a part of the disciplines that God gives us and God practice himself. And again, you can see other passages of scripture where David talks often about fasting with purpose, for the purpose of a humbled spirit. He had pride, very much arrogance in his life, and he fasted with the purpose of humbling his spirit. Is there sin in your life that you need God to break through? That's something worth acknowledging and thinking about. Are there, again, thoughts of despair, same there. And so, thirdly, I want to read this quote real fast. More than any other discipline, fasting reveals the things that control us. And so, thirdly, are you needing God's guidance or to hear from God on an issue in your life? Are you needing God's guidance or to hear from God on an issue in your life? The next two I'm going to kind of lump together. Acts 13, 1 through 3 says this. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Lucius, a longtime friend of Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And I want to read the next one actually as well. Acts 14, 23. It says, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. During important decisions, they fasted. When they needed important answers for certain questions or God's direct intervention on leadership on a specific situation. The church prayed. The church together prayed and fasted. The church's leaders got together and prayed and fasted. And they, just as they fasted, they prayed. The two went together. And you see that throughout the decisions of the early church that they were making. And so I would say to you, it makes sense after reading some of these stories in the New Testament, are you making an important decision? Are you needing God's guidance or to hear from God on an issue in your life? I mean, if your marriage is falling apart, have you considered fasting for the purpose of your marriage? And getting counseling, doing everything you can do before you give up on marriage. Have you considered fasting? Have you considered, hey, there's sin in the marriage that's the problem, the center of it. Have you considered fasting for that? Because you know you're going to carry it right into the next marriage. Have we done that? Do you have an important decision? Like, I'm about to make an entire job decision. I'm leaving this, and my whole life's about to be different. Maybe, and you don't know, and you're not sure. Fast. If you considered fasting and saying, God, give me assurance. Speak to me. We're going to fasting with the purpose of God. I want you to intervene. I want you to speak to me. We see that clearly through Scripture, that before they made decisions, when they were making important decisions, they fasted and they worshiped. So if you're at a place that I got to make an important life-changing decision, I'm in a situation that I can't change and I need intervention from the Holy Spirit. I need God to move. Have you considered fasting and asking God to speak, give you direct wisdom? If you say, I don't hear God, fast. Don't make a decision hastily. Make a decision doing everything you can do to hear from God. And maybe we haven't done enough to really be quiet and to really hear from God. If you considered fasting, we see that in the church. And I'll end with this last one for you to think about. To aid in a pleading prayer. 2 Samuel 12, verses 13 through 23. I think I messed that up. I'm not reading all that. I gave the wrong reference. It may have been one verse. I'm not sure. I'm just going to tell you, read that passage at home and somewhere around there. It's a pleading prayer. They would get together praying, pleading for God. Fasting is a thing that you can do where you're pleading for God to move. You're pleading for God to do something. And so, do you have something in your life that you're pleading? You're pleading for God, or you need to plead for God? I wonder, I just ask, maybe sometimes we don't see more healing in our lives because we don't have enough people fasting and asking God to do the impossible. Maybe that's a missing element of not seeing the direct intervention of supernatural because there's not enough people saying, God, I believe you can do this, so we're going to just pray and fast, and you may not do it. We know you're God and you're sovereign, but we're going to plead. We're going to plead, and by discipleship, worshiping through fasting, we're going to plead for you to do something. We're going to show God that we do not depend on me or my wisdom or my efforts. We depend on you, and we know that we're only sustained by you, so we're pleading through fasting that you move. It's just something that comes to my mind. It's something worth considering. And so those are the type of things that I really believe. And again, I know I said the word fasting a million times, but I think the most beneficial thing for me to have done as we talked about fasting is help you. Do you need to fast? Should you consider fasting? Do any of those questions like, hey, man, one of those really hits me, and maybe I should consider fasting. If I could accomplish anything today, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted you to think, should fasting be a part of your life? Should fasting maybe even in time be a long-term thing that you start doing with purpose? Fasting is very clearly, in Jesus' mind, it was said, it was practiced. The Pharisees would practice. They would actually fast at least twice a week. They fasted for months on end, weeks on end, for festivals. So it was a normal thing, and he talks about it normally just like he would giving and praying. Well, we talk an awful lot about praying, talk an awful lot about giving, but fasting is the one we don't talk about. It's not cultural. It's not normal for us. I know all that, but maybe it should. Maybe it's something we ought to as we think about being consistent and growing in our spiritual walk and our disciplines. It's the one that's forgotten, but it may be the one that, as Wesley said, brings the most spiritual breakthrough. I mean, that's what he says. He acknowledged that and he said that. And so church fathers, for years, the church has done fasting. It's more of a new thing that we don't do it. So I encourage you to sincerely think through. And again, as I prayed and I considered on my own, I asked God, what was the purpose of fasting? What is the big thing? Again, I gave you the statement where I felt God told me, you should fast in order to pursue, experience a fuller glimpse at the fullness of God. I believe God filled that in my heart and said that to me as I was thinking, how do I preach on fasting? Because it's something I need to grow in. Well, I think God said, do you want to experience a more fullness of my presence in your life? Then it's something you should pursue. So I encourage you, for whatever reason, think through, should you do this? But as we leave, I want to give a couple practical things before we leave. But a truth to believe, fasting, just like giving, just like praying, fasting isn't for God, it is for you. It's not for God, it's for us. God has given it to us to help us experience the fullness of God. God knows we need help to do that. And so he teaches us. We're not praying because God needs you to pray. You're not giving because God needs you to give. God is the God that has everything. He owns everything. He doesn't need you to give, but God asks you to give because it does something to your heart. And I hope I taught that as we talked about giving. And he asks us to pray, not because we have to pray, but because we need God. And if we don't close ourselves and pray and go to God, our minds are going to be on everything but what God's will is. We need to pray in such a way and pray the Lord's Prayer so that we're more focused in praying according to the way Jesus taught us to pray. So we focus on the things of God, and we need to fast because we need the fullness of God in our life. But ultimately, it's a practice meant to benefit our spiritual walk. Now, many would say, hey, it's great for your health. It is. Like, God does that often. Something he tells us to do is actually something we should do for our own health benefits. Fasting, I've not read anything that it's bad for you. It's good. It's very good for you. It's a very healthy thing. It purifies your body in an amazing way. But I'm encouraging you to do it for the spiritual side. So here's a couple practical things I want to talk about. Don't rush into fasting. You need to ease into fasting. I want to encourage you first to learn about fasting and what it does to your body. All you got to do is go on YouTube, anything. Just go on Yahoo, go on Google, type in fasting and ask the question, what do I need to know about what it does to the body? Learn about what fasting does to your body before you just make a decision how long or what should you do. Ease into fasting. It is actually something that if you've never fasted, it's going to be hard and it's going to be a shock for your body. And so you need to ease into it, learn a little bit about it, think through how should I start? It could start as I'm going to skip a couple of lunches. One of the things I did often in high school and when I would try to practice fasting in my life is I would not eat lunch, and I would spend the whole time, instead of eating lunch, I would just pray and read the Bible and study God. And I remember doing that as a practice in my life. And so that's how I begun fasting, and that's what I did. And maybe that's a good place to start. Maybe you start with one day, just one day, try it out, see how your body reacts to one day. And again, whether you're older or, just some medical complications, for some people, you can't fast. Ask your doctor if you're worried about it. Can I fast or can't I fast? Have a conversation with someone who can give you an answer there. I can't. I'm not qualified to tell you that. But pursue someone, then just ask. Get advice. But it is something that we should look into doing, but ease into fasting. And I want to say this. Expect pain and possible an angrier temperament for the first few days. Everything I've ever read. Listen, here's the real issue. Tea and coffee, you don't think that they're like these stimulant things. You stop drinking coffee and tea, you might have a headache pretty quick, and you may realize that you are a little bit more, it's part of your life, and I don't drink a lot of tea, but I drink a lot of green tea, so I'm in the same boat beyond just coffee. But I could tell you, 3 days in, they say 3 days is the hardest. Within 3 days, after 3 days, it's a lot easier. But the first 3 days are hard. They just are. And you're usually not as happy. So though you may not want to tell and you shouldn't tell everyone, you may want to tell your spouse so they just know, like, why are you crazy right now? Because I do think your temperament likely, particularly if it's a first-time thing, your temperament will be a little harder. Ask the Holy Spirit for the strength to maintain your fast commitment. I encourage making a commitment. If you're going to do it with purpose and do it for a commitment. Tell God, I'm fasting with this in mind, and this is why I'm fasting. Sometimes people fast, but they don't fast with purpose. They just fast. Great, but fast with purpose. Have a commitment. Say, God, I'm fasting with this in mind, and this is why. So first, commit to do it. And then secondly, fast and make the most of your fast. Again, I've said that fasting is meant to help us see and experience the more fullness of God. So make sure that part of your plan in the fasting is lots of worship, study, prayer time, along with a desire to learn and listen. As I talked about in praying, sometimes we pursue and we pray, but we don't listen. Listen. Particularly if you're going to fasting for the purpose of you're asking a question and you're like, God, I need you to help me. Give me direction. Give me an answer. Well, you need to listen. You need to be quiet. You need to ask God to speak to you. You need to ask God to speak through his scripture, through worship. Ask God. So I encourage you, again, on that side, if you're fasting, fast with purpose, fast with a commitment, but take time to utilize that fast to experience the presence of God. Spend more time in prayer, more time in God's word, more time in worship, because that's how you're going to get the benefit of the fast. I encourage you, I really do encourage you to journal, maybe a prayer journal during a fast. If you're fasting and it's something you may say, I'm only going to fast for 2 days here and I'm going to take a couple of days, I don't know what your fast might be. And I can talk to you more personally about if you should consider fasting, but a journal I think is really helpful as you get hungry and you're like, oh, God, go to God. I'm reminded how much I need you. I'm reminded how life really depends on you. It doesn't depend on everything I constantly fill my life with. And again, fast helps us with that. So journal some of your thoughts. Journal some of your prayer time. Journal some of the things that are going through your head and what God's saying to you. Journal. Journaling is a helpful tool in the process. I really believe that. And then finally, coming off a serious fast requires easing back into eating as well. So if you do a fast, just as you have to ease into fasting, you need to ease back into not fasting. So the great thing to do would not be to, right before a fast, gorge right before, because that's not going to be good for you. Everything, right? That's not good for you. Same thing as you're easing back into fasting. You may not want to go get a massive meal your first meal. You may ease back into eating because it really does. It's a shock to your body. It's a good thing for your body, but it's a shock. So hey, those are real practical things to think through, real easy. I could have spent a lot more time on either of these sides, but I would ask you, in all sincerity, would you consider fasting? One of the things that's going to be asked in community groups is, would you consider fasting as a church at some point? That we actually, from the pulpit, we kind of, hey, we're asking you to commit to this, and we're praying for this. We're praying for God to do this, and we're going to make fasting. Would you be open to that? Sometimes one of the things in disciplines, if you do it together, you're more likely to do it than if you just try to always do it individually. I'm going to ask you all to talk about that. I'd be interested in your comments. And so with that said, would you fast? Do you need to fast? Do you feel like maybe it's something I should do? Pray about it. Think about it. Think through those questions. And if one of them saying yes, I encourage you to really think about committing to something in regards to fasting, learning about fasting, but making it a part of our discipline. And again, we talk about giving, we talk about praying, but Jesus talked about fasting right in line with those three. Okay? So with that said, let's pray. And we'll go into a time of worship. And I encourage you to consider fasting for sure. Let's pray. Father, I don't know what's going on in our lives right now. I don't know what we've walked into this place with. I don't know if one of these questions really hits home as to what we're going through. But God, I pray that that you would motivate us, Father, to pursue a fuller glimpse of your goodness and of your glory, God, and the fullness of you. And Lord, I pray that we'd be motivated to do something such as fasting for that purpose. So Lord, in this time of prayer, as we have some of our church families up here and we're just having a time of praying, God, I pray that you would move in this time and just in our hearts as we worship you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.